The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avery Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Real Fashion Confessionals. Omar Salaam details the success of his modern African luxury brand, Sukina. Since launching his fashion house in 2012, Omar Salaam has been a steady rise in his career. After presenting at Essence Fashion House New York City in 2019, he was appointed creative director of the Fraylane Group, a platform for emerging African luxury brands. He made his New York Fashion Week debut for fall-winter in 2020. My fall-winter show was more of a gathering of people who throughout the years have been customers, supporters, friends, and families, says Salaam about his Fashion Week debut. Born in Dakar, Senegal, and a graduate of Parsons School of Design in New York, Salaam has built his extensive career around modernizing African fashion. This year, expect his looks to be seen on the global stages as we hear Vice President Kamala Harris is a fan of the designer. Salaam speaks about the gratitude he feels with Sukina's milestones, past and future. Essence asks the question, what do you hope that a buyer will feel when wearing one of your pieces? Omar Salaam responded, Sukina is really nothing more than the dictionary for a woman, to let her pull words that are not verbal but visual, to let her express what she's feeling, what she's intending to be, what she's trying to do. When you position yourself to create something like that for womankind and mankind in the realm of fashion and garments, it is super important to be precise and disciplined. And it's an ongoing thing. You keep on sharpening your tool. You want to make sure that the communication tool is as sharp and as disciplined and as exact as possible. Essence asked, when looking at your designs, precision does come to mind. To what do you credit that? Salaam responded, precision is critical when you are dealing with technicalities and proportion. I think that it applies to anything, whether it's medicine or architecture. What we do is important, but how we do it is really what is paramount. A certain degree of discipline and precision can really support that, especially when you are positioning ourselves to be the allies or the assistants of a woman's day of expressing herself as she walks through her world. Essence asked, how does it feel to receive all the love for and about your brand? Salaam responded, I feel humbled and heard and appreciated. It never grows old, quite frankly. I tell people, just choose to do what you love doing, because then whatever comes with it, it is a plus. If I didn't make a living off of it, it's something that I would like to do, even if I had to pay to do it. But then you meet with ambassadors and people who represent and believe in the same philosophy. They support it, they feel it, they encourage it. It creates an incredible bubble of energy of people loving, supporting, pushing, and enhancing one another. It is humbling, but it is also wonderful and very enjoyable. The next article is titled Essence Entrepreneur Virtual Summit Recap. Renee Blewett, the creator and executive producer of She Did That, talked cash flow, credit options, SBA, business banking loans, and more with JP Morgan Chase experts. Tosh Ernest, Head of Wealth, Advancing Black Pathways. Raquel Oden, the Managing Director, Head of National Sales. Lavonda Davis, Vice President, Business Relationship Manager, Chase for Business. Leona Barber, Executive Director, Middle Market Banking Technology and Disruptive Commerce. Then there was Tina Esridge, the Senior Director of Marketing at Microsoft, who moderated a discussion with Amy Say-Say, the owner of Say-Say IT Solutions. Then there was Sandy Castrol, President and Co-Founder of IC Stars, and Samantha Thompson, Search Engine Marketing Strategist, on reimagining ways to use technology for a leading edge and thrive in a digital world. Then there was Michael Bivens, Ronnie DeVoe, and Ricky Bell of the award-winning hip-hop and R&B group Bell, Biv, DeVoe, joined media experts Michael Thornton Gee and Pepsi Company Beverages Vice President and CMO South Division Chauncey Hamlet for a reflective conversation about their success as thriving entrepreneurs. Also, Walmart invited co-host and Joy Marie and Courtney to share a few choice tips to assist in the job search and ace the interview. Also, Aveeno and Essence teamed up with skin health, beauty industry, and business experts to share ways to present yourself and perfect your pitch. Panelists included Alfred Edmund Jr., SVP and Executive Editor-at-Large of Black Enterprise, Abina, founder of Hannah Hannah Beauty, Tanya Thompson, co-founder of Dream Girls, Cherie Wilson, co-founder of Dream Girls, moderated by Kamika Smith, founder of Boss Network. Lastly, the interactive competition, What the Bleep, gave emerging entrepreneurs a chance to show their business prowess while guessing responses from leading professionals and experts. The next article is titled, Your Favorite Singer's Favorite Singer. Jasmine Sullivan's voice is joy and pain, which is why her latest collection of songs exploring the complexities of Black womanhood is still on replay. I don't want to judge anybody. I just want to love on everybody, especially women and especially Black women, because we need it, says R&B singer Jasmine Sullivan. She's explaining her decision to not vilify any type of woman on her latest EP, Hex Tales. I went through a period where I was almost feeling ashamed of the things I did and the mistakes I made, she adds. These points were the catalyst behind the Hex Tales, which chronicles the journey of a young woman grappling with public and personal perceptions of sex, love, and growth. I had to really give myself grace, she says, and I wanted to do it for other women too, because it is important for us to know that we are not the sum of a bad year. Sullivan is speaking from her home in Philadelphia, where she is preparing for a virtual performance. The band and background singers are piling into her space for an intimate set, and Sullivan is quietly humming at the start of the conversation. She comes on singing. Her longtime rep, Theola Borden, Senior Vice President of Publicity at RCA Records, who connected our call, says with a laugh. Even from her minimalist, hushed vocal runs, you can hear Sullivan's dexterity loud and clear. She's your favorite singer's favorite singer for a reason. At just 33 years old, Sullivan has come to embody the very heart of R&B and has become one of the most respected vocalists of her generation. Revered artists like Solange Knowles and Missy Elliott sing her praises. In fact, Elliott has been one of her biggest supporters for years. I've been trying to tell y'all about my sis Jasmine Sullivan, the Grammy-winning rap star wrote on social media in late 2020. When Sullivan chooses, her voice is as big as a choir, brushing against the rafters with crystal clear soprano notes or nearly muted, rumbling like the night sea as she pushes out lower notes. She is comfortable as a songwriter as well. She holds writing credits on each song on Hex Tales, as well as on each of her previous albums, Fearless, Love Me Back, and Reality Show. The response to her latest work has been overwhelmingly positive. Just days after its January 8th release date, she was tapped to perform the national anthem at the 55th Super Bowl alongside Eric Church. After a particularly trying year marked by grief, division, and fear, her voice is just what we need to soothe our souls as we continue the healing process. Yet, regardless of her status as one of music's elite talents, Sullivan is still in awe of the fact that she was chosen. I never even thought about that as a tangible goal, really, she says humbly. I don't think that my career would lead me there. And a week and a half after I put this project out, the opportunity came up. She is also currently in talks with friend Issa Rae about turning Hex Tales into a short film and possibly adding a few extra songs. In 2017, Sullivan co-wrote Insecure for Rae's original series of the same title. And Mary J. Blige, one of the foremothers of Sullivan's inclination to blend hip-hop sensibilities with updated blues soul lyrics, is interested in remixing one of her songs. So yes, it is a great year to be Miss Jasmine Sullivan. This rise comes after a 6-year gap in solo projects following Sullivan's previous effort, Reality Show, in 2015. She has never been one to oversaturate the music space, but after her mother's cancer diagnosis in 2019, she wrapped up her last round of chemotherapy last January, and the roller coaster that was 2020, Sullivan is ready to spend a little less time away between projects. Of her next venture, slated to be a full-length album, she says, I do know that it won't take me as long to start and finish it, just because I view time differently after 2020. The last year was crazy, and you don't know if tomorrow is promised and what's going to happen when it comes. So I just don't want to waste the time. While we wait for her next artistic offering, she's giving us more than enough to chew on with Hex Tales. When asked about the spirit of grace with which she imbued the EP, she gives an answer that's sure to resonate. I think that women are told very early on that we have to present ourselves a certain way, and we have to look a certain way and act a certain way, she says. It is ingrained in us from very young that we have to be perfect, and we have to unlearn that so we can be fully ourselves and move about this world the way we see fit, so we can be happy, really. Forgive yourself and be happy, sis, cause Jasmine Sullivan said so. The next article is titled, and the nominees are, Black Women Are the Heart of Music, from gospel, jazz, and funk to R&B, and hip-hop, we have shaped a multitude of genres. With this rich history of musical excellence, it's only right that we acknowledge for our cultural contributions at the 2021 Grammy Awards hosted by Trevor Noah on March 14th. Here's a very short list of who's nominated. Her, nominated for Song of the Year for I Can't Breathe, and twice for Best R&B Song, Better Than I Imagined. Robert Glasper featuring Her, and Michelle and Slow Down by Skip Marley and Her. Mickey Guyton, nominated for Best Country Solo Performance for Black Like Me, the first black female solo artist nominated in this category. Megan Thee Stallion, nominated for Best New Artist, plus Her and Beyoncé Savage is up for Record of the Year, Best Rap Performance and Best Rap Song. The next article is titled, Beyond the Story, Authenticity and Connection are at the heart of the Tamron Hall Show. But for the Daytime Emmy-winning team, having an impact behind the scenes is just as sweet. It is the Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday, but talk show host Tamron Hall and her executive producer, Candy Carter, are in the middle of their workday. Amid a pandemic and the upcoming inauguration of a black woman to the second highest office in the land, there is a lot to prepare for and discuss. Yet, as both women sit smiling through their computer cameras, utterly relaxed and welcoming, it is clear they are in command of their own time. As two black women at the helm of a nationally syndicated daytime talk show, the Tamron Hall Show, Hall and Carter are committed to reshaping the media landscape. As with many black women, their paths have not been straightforward. This latest journey began with the doors at NBC slamming in Hall's face in 2017. I didn't envision this show, she reflects. I did know when I left NBC that I would not put myself in a position again where I had to plead for my job. I clearly had value. But to whom was the question? At the end of the day, I knew that value belonged to me. 2 years later, the veteran TV anchor would walk onto the set of her self-titled show. Since then, Hall has elevated the stories and the people who have impacted her while showcasing her vast skill set. But just as she was hitting her stride, the COVID-19 pandemic forced her to recalibrate. However, this time she had Carter, The View's former executive producer, in her corner. Halfway through the first season, I realized that the vision of the show that I wanted was not quite there, Hall explains. Tyler Perry suggested that Candy and I have a conversation. Tyler said, together, you will be formidable. The connection between the women felt like kismet. What I saw in Tamron's show was an incredibly talented person who needed a different producer. Someone who got her, Carter says. Imagine the magic you can create with people you really connect with when there's no real ego involved. Since Carter, who co-produced The Oprah Winfrey Show for years, came through the door, success of the Tamron Hall Show has skyrocketed. The show earned a season 3 renewal just a few weeks into season 2. And a 2020 Daytime Emmy, in addition to allowing guests like former gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gilliam and singer reality star Tamar Braxton to speak their truths. Carter and Hall also provide a platform for new voices and visionaries. One of the episodes that Hall is most proud of is titled Hear Us Now, which spotlighted activists at the forefront of Black Lives Matter marches in the summer of 2020 following the murder of George Floyd. Helming the show has also allowed Hall and Carter to combat untruths and rumors about their business practices. I know where our hearts are, Carter says. I know that our intention is to help and to impact people. We care about our staff. We care about our viewers. We have the power to not let somebody else create a narrative about us, which I think often happens with Black women. Carter and Hall are also very aware of their legacy. That's the specialness about being Black creators, Hall says. Even when we have not felt welcome to the party, we have welcomed others. I replaced the same Black woman 2 times in my career at 2 different news organizations, and not because of any other reason than they felt there was a one for one. I walked in and I wanted the job, but at the same time, it was gut-wrenching. With the Tamron Hall show, Hall and Carter are doing their best to make sure that no one ever again sees Black women on television as interchangeable. If you look at our staff, the 5 people who run the show are all women, Carter says, and the entire staff is so incredibly diverse. It's not a Black-white show. The path forward hasn't always been rosy for either women, but they both know a thing or two about longevity. I always tell people that to have a lasting career, you have to keep reinventing yourself, Carter reflects. I have never been comfortable anywhere. There's always more for me to do. You have to stay relevant. You have to stay connected. You have to learn new skills. I'm a hustler. I always tell people, if you think you can outwork me, good luck, because it's an internal drive. Storytelling is my life. The next article is titled, In the Newsroom, Where It Happened. Black women have always pushed the truth forward, but now they are taking ownership of their power and commanding the narrative. The media has been rocked by scandals, untruths, and chaos generated by the previous presidential administration. However, during a time when the need for accurate reporting is dire, Black women are delivering the facts, ushering in a new leadership in our country while wounds are still raw. Black female journalists are taking charge well beyond the election cycle, digging into the history and modern day events that have shaped this nation. With her hit MSNBC primetime show, The Readout, Joy Reid continues to bring context and culture to the news. MSNBC, helmed by newly minted network president Rashida Jones, also boasts Tiffany Cross's Saturday morning show, The Cross Connection with Tiffany Cross, and political analyst Zerlina Maxwell's weekday news show, Zerlina, on the company's streaming platform, Peacock. Meanwhile, across the airwaves, Yamichi Alcindor continues to deliver excellence as PBS News Hour's White House correspondent, reporting on our new leadership. And over at CNN, senior political correspondent Abby Phillips stands center stage at Inside Politics Sunday with Abby Phillips, delivering insightful commentary on affairs of the state. The next article is titled, Black History in the Making. Dr. Kiz Makia, quote-unquote Kizzy Corbett, is the secret sauce behind the scenes in the fight to end the global pandemic, and her work has changed the world. In 2020, our superheroes wore lab coats. The brilliance of Black women doctors and scientists has been at the forefront of the global race to develop the COVID-19 vaccine, and history has been made. A few weeks ago, I got my first dose of the coronavirus vaccine, Vice President Kamala Harris stated during a pre-inauguration day online briefing to announce the appointment of top science advisors in the Biden administration. It was the Moderna vaccine, and it was developed with the National Institutes of Health by a team that was co-led by a 34-year-old black woman named Dr. Kismika Corbett. If the name sounds familiar, it should. With her team, Corbett, a viral immunologist and senior research fellow at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Vaccine Research Center, has been instrumental in developing one of the first two successful COVID vaccines, a triumph accomplishment that was actually 6 years in the making. Corbett and her colleagues were studying the fundamental mechanics of coronaviruses years before COVID-19 disrupted the world as we knew it. After researching the SARS and MERS outbreaks, Corbett and other veteran virologists at the VRC began to prepare for the next threat. When it arrived with a vengeance in late 2019, they were ready. Their research jump-started the record-setting journey to develop a successful vaccine and get it from the trial phase and into arms, making Corbett an essential figure in vaccine science. To stand in the forefront of the vaccine development efforts, a vaccine that is 94% effective and has the ability to end this pandemic and be the great equalizer as we think about health disparities is really an honor for me, Corbett says. Growing up in Hillsboro, North Carolina, Corbett became a scientist at age 16. She hadn't known that black scientists existed until she met one during a high school summer internship program. Now she is working hard to save lives. It is important to me to have made this history, and particularly to stand in the forefront for people like myself, to really help everyone, not just in the U.S., but also the world. To see black women in a different light as innovators in technology and science, Corbett shares, "We see you, Dr. Corbett, and thank you." Run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.